Good morning, church. I'm excited to be here this morning. Pastor Dave and I were talking, and he was asking me if I was ready, and I told him that, you know, if I'm not, I'll call you up there. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here this morning. Shall we pray? Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you do in our lives, Lord. Father, we believe that you're in control. You're over any challenge. You're over our weaknesses, Lord. And so we just choose to invite you here this morning. And we pray in the name of Jesus that even as I share your word, Lord, Father, King of Glory, may you engrave these words into our hearts, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible tells us that God created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested. Now, if you're familiar with the story, you'll know that after God had created the light, the air, food, he then created man, having created all those things that man would need for survival. He told man that he was to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. He then placed man in the Garden of Eden. And God gave man a specific task. He was supposed to take care of this beautiful garden that God had created animals. It was a wonderful place with amazing food. But greater than that, it also had the presence of God, because God would fellowship with man. Like, basically, would come down and they would have a chat. I don't know how that worked, but God would just interact with man. Now, the devil had fallen at that point. And so he decided to come and convince Eve that Eve was lacking in wisdom. And he told Eve that, you know what? You can actually be like God. And yet God had already created man in his image. But here was the devil convincing Eve that, you know what? When you eat this fruit, in that garden there were two trees in the middle of the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Eve looked at this fruit that God had told them not to eat. And she was like, it looks good to the eye. And I want to get some of that wisdom. I want to be like God. And so she took the fruit and ate this fruit. And then she gave some to the husband, Adam, who was right there with them. Immediately their eyes opened and they actually realized that they had fallen short. Then they went into hiding because they knew they had disobeyed God. And that just sounds like us, like how you fall short and sometimes you run away from God. So we see that happen from that point in time. Now, God knew that if Adam and Eve had also eaten from the tree of life, they would have stayed in that fallen state that is characterized by sin, by pain, by frustrations. Can you imagine living forever in that kind of pain? So what did God do? God decided out of love to get these people out of that garden that he had placed them in. And so God had a plan already laid out of how he was going to deliver man from sin. The Bible talks about Jesus being the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. And when the time had fully come, God sent his son Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, so that would be sons, his sons in his kingdom. Anyone who acknowledges Jesus as Lord receives the gift of eternal life. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What the Bible is talking about here is repentance, really. And repentance is when we turn away from our sinful lifestyle and we choose to embrace a godly lifestyle. Now, bearing fruit begins with repentance. And that is where I'll be spending our time today. Like, I'll be talking about how we can bear the fruit. So, you need to understand that bearing fruit does not save anyone. But there is an expectation over us. God expects us to bear fruit at some point. Now, there is no time limit as to when you need to start bearing that fruit, but you need to understand that there is an expectation. This is what Jesus says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Bearing fruit is important because it reveals the heart and character of God, and God would like you and me to be like him. That is what he's calling us to. Look at what John the Baptist said about bearing fruit. I understand he was speaking to the Pharisees, but I believe what he said also still applies in our lives. He said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That sounds like a command and a warning, and it's scary when I read about this. It shakes me to the core of my being. Now, Apostle Paul took this even a notch higher when he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These two scriptures that I just read about the lifestyle that we need to live put an emphasis on the importance of us as Christians bearing fruit. And any scientist will tell you that fruit is good for your body. How many people enjoy fruit? I do. Fruit is good for your body and it will help you eliminate the risk of getting certain kinds of diseases. Similarly, fruit is good for the body of Christ. As I was preparing, I remembered a time when I'd lost an aunt, and so I moved from the city where I was and I went to my hometown for burial. Now, we had friends who came to support us during that moment, and after burial, my village has a lot of fruit. There are mangoes that just fall and rot because there are no people to eat the mangoes. And so they were amazed. They looked at all these mangoes in disbelief. They were like, you know what? We need some of that fruit. And they got bags and carried as much fruit as they could carry, and they took the fruit with them back into the city. And I was just thinking, you know, at that time when we just shared with these people the fruit that we had, I believe that as Christians, God has called us to develop this fruit so that we can share that fruit with the body of Christ. Amen? Yeah, and but the thing is, we cannot bear this fruit on our own. This is what the Bible tells us in John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the question is, what kind of fruit is God calling us to bear. Which takes me to my key verse of the day, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So the kind of fruit that God is really asking us to bear is love. When you look at this portion of scripture, you look at peace and patience. Those are some of the qualities that the Apostle Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The other thing that points to the fact that Paul is speaking about love is when he says, against such things there is no law. That also points us to the fact that God is calling us to bear the fruit of what? Of love. One important thing to note is that Paul is actually speaking to Christians at this point. Now, I just want to give a backdrop before I even, you know, get into other things. Now, Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, got into a disagreement with Peter. Peter had gone to Galatia, and he was living with the Gentiles. He was eating with them, fellowshipping with them. But when Peter got to know that there were people who were coming from their head office in Jerusalem, he got scared and started acting hypocritically. And at that point, Paul confronted Peter because they were laying a burden on these people who had come to faith, the Gentiles. They were placing burdens on them that even the Jews were not in position to keep. It was such a serious matter that Paul and Peter actually went to Jerusalem to discuss this matter. In Acts chapter 15, the Bible actually tells us what the conclusion of that meeting was. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul then comes and starts telling us that, you know, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But we shouldn't use our freedom to indulge in a sinful behavior. He's telling us that the freedom that we have received is to live free from the law. Now, there were Judaizers who had come into Galatia, and they were telling these Christians that after coming to faith, you need to also be circumcised. And Paul was preaching that you are saved by Christ alone. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do these other rituals. That's what Paul was communicating to these people. Now, I also understand that when we come to faith, there are certain challenges that we face. There are things that will stop us from bearing fruit. I don't know whether you have experienced this. I believe inside each and every one of us, there is a battle. Sometimes you want to do something that is good, but you find yourself doing the opposite. I remember the story. There is a point in my life when I was trying to learn French, and I had this teacher who was trying to help me pronounce some of the words, and I would hear right, and then I would say it the wrong way. They would tell me the word, and I could hear, yes, I had that. But then when I would pronounce it, it was the wrong thing, and like, not that. I decided to let that go. Hopefully, I'll learn French in another life. When I get to heaven, maybe that will be an opportunity for me to do that. But basically, in our lives, sometimes you want to do something, but there is a tension, and you find yourself doing the wrong thing. Now, the Apostle Paul actually experienced that. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, this is what Paul says. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. The reason there is that tension inside you is the same reason
I believe the tension that Adam and Eve also basically had, like after, like they were grappling with this. Well, they were created perfect, but I think they were struggling with this inside them. Now, the devil is crafty, and because of that, he will place like certain things inside our hearts, like there will be some kind of tension because of the traps and the different things that he lays out for us. The devil understands that if he tells, like God has told us to do certain things, he knows that because God has given us wisdom, we are in position to discern and decide not to do certain things. But he will package his temptation in such a way that will seem appealing, the same way that he did for Eve. Like, I mean, the fruit was beautiful, but I believe the devil will package like something in such a way that he will make it attractive to you. There is a verse that I like in Proverbs. It says that if you lay a trap in the open when a bird is watching, chances are high that that trap will not catch that bird. And I think the devil understands that principle. He knows that when he gives us something that we can, you know, like if something is just clear cut, you'll not land into it. But if it's gray and all that, you'll find yourself compromising. Now, there are certain things that stop us from actually bearing this fruit. And I just want to highlight a few of those. The lust of the flesh, the things that we just read about, jealousy, anger, fits of anger, you know, all those things will stop us from bearing fruit. The other thing would be the lust of the eyes, the things that we see, looking at someone, lusting after them, coveting someone's property. That's the other thing that will stop us from actually bearing fruit. The other thing is the pride of life. Things like titles, fame, positions. Those are some of the things that will stop us from being productive Christians. The devil wants to rob us the opportunity to develop and show love, to develop and show patience, to develop and show kindness. That's one thing the devil is up to. He knows that when we bear this fruit, we'll actually be shining our light and bringing glory to God. So he does whatever he can to try and make us wanting and lacking in these areas of our lives. Every one of us is lacking in these gifts, in developing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You could be a loving person, but maybe you need to develop some patience. Maybe you're a patient person, but maybe you're wanting in faithfulness. I believe no one can confidently say that I have mastered, I have developed the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I believe no one can confidently say that. I believe that's an ongoing process that only ends after we have exited this world. And so we just need to keep working at it. Just turn to someone and tell them, you seem to have it all together. But God knows where you are wanting. So because we are all lacking in these qualities, God uses different circumstances in our lives to try and develop these gifts in us so that he can make us well-rounded Christians. I grew up in a religious home, and we went to church every Sunday. We prayed regularly. And so I went to the seminary, and I was going to become a priest. So I was in the seminary for a couple of years, and I remember during that season, I used to escape from school and go and do like my business in town, different things, and then I would just make sure I was back in time for prep, you know, when before they just do the roll call and what. I was always there, so no one would know, apart from my friends, who would know that had actually escaped. Now, I remember this specific weekend, I hadn't escaped from school. And then I was called the next time, and I was told that you escaped this past weekend And I said, no, I did not escape because I was there. Well, I had been escaping before, but that specific day, I did not escape. And I refused to agree. So they started telling me that it's important for you to admit if you have done wrong. I was like, yeah, that is true, but I did not escape. So I was told that because you are not cooperating, and, you know, if in your seminary they expect you, like, to admit certain things, that, yes, you have done wrong, and, you know, that way they can work with you and help you become a better leader, a better Christian. So for me, I denied, and so they told me that because of that, we'll be sending you home to go and think about it, reflect upon it, and then after you have reflected upon it, when you think that you are ready, you'll come back to school and we'll talk about this. I was suspended from school for 2 weeks. I went back home, and then because I was raised by a single mom, I got one of my uncles, and I went back to school with one of my uncles. So I had these teachers, there was a panel, and I was, you know, like, it was like they were interrogating me. So, like, there were very many teachers on a panel, and I was there. So different people were asking me questions. So they asked me, did you escape on this day? I said, no, I did not escape. And so they talked, and finally they said that because you are not teachable, we are expelling you from this school. I was frustrated, and at that point I felt like my dreams had been crushed because I was going to become a priest. And so I went back home, and during that season I started getting involved. Like, I started drinking a lot of alcohol. I would sleep, and, you know, literally I would get so drunk that I would even not know where my arm is. Like, that was the point. Like, I was drinking to that level. And then I also picked up certain habits like pornography and, like, a number of things. Like, basically, my life was just going down the train. I didn't know if I was going to continue with my school or anything like that. It was a hard time for me because I was at a time when if you did not do exams, you were going to, I would kill a year and all that. So basically, for me, everything had come to an end. And so my mom, fortunately, was in position to get me a school where I went. I went into the city. I went to Kampala. If you've been to Uganda, I went to Kampala, and I started living with this uncle of mine who had lost his wife at the time. So my uncle had started a life group. And so I started going to this life group. And the reason I went for the life group that was at home was because there was food, there was tea. And so I started regularly going for that life group. At that point, my uncle had also started going to church. He had a small blue van that would carry about 10 people. And he would take all of us with him to church. But I didn't actually want to go to church. Like, I'd been to church before, and, you know, like, my mindset, you know, like, you know, God does not care, and, like, all that. Basically, I got fired for the wrong thing. Like, I had very many things going. And so I didn't want to go to church. But the problem was that if you didn't want to go to church with my uncle, you had to stay home and do house chores. And so I was driven. I was like, no, you know, I'll not stay home and do that. Well, if you're asking if I do that now, yes, I do that. So I just started going to church because I was trying to avoid doing house chores. Now, I would go to church, listen to the gospel, and they would ask, is there no one here who would like to give their hearts to the Lord? And I was one of those guys who would look around, and I'm like, there is no one. Oh. And that was it. Basically, that was my life. And then I remember at some point, I felt so sick that I knew I was going to die, for a fact. And that day I knelt in my room and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I have been born again since then. One thing though is, after I became born again, I was still drinking. And I had a group, my drinking buddies, I had a group who never lacked. We always had money for alcohol. Like, that was my life. I went to university and I was drinking. I got invited by a friend one time. I went over to his place. We took lots of whiskey, and I had to go back to campus. Now, I got to the road, and I was staggering. I couldn't cross the road, but I knew at that point that a car could easily run over me. So I stood at the roadside. I waited, because there were no security lights there. I waited until it was dark. That is when I knew there was no car that was coming, and that is when I crossed the road. I went back on campus. Now, my friends started telling me. I told them I was born again. My friends started telling me that, Brian, you know what? This born again thing is not for you. Because every time they would invite me and would go out, I would drink. They're like, Brian, you know, that is not for you. That is for some other guys. We know you. You know you are part of us. But one thing that I kept doing, irrespective of what the challenges that I was facing, I continued studying the Bible. I liked to read the Bible. I was reading the Bible. I just continued doing that. Now, after a while, I got frustrated with myself and with God because I had given my heart to Him, but I was still having these challenges. I expected that once you have given your heart to the Lord, everything will just fall off. Like, I mean, what I had been told, like, just everything. You're a new creation. Like, basically, all those things were supposed to fall off. And one time, I just went to God in my frustration. And then I just felt this conviction laid upon my heart. I felt like God was telling me that, Brian, as much as you have given your heart to me, there is a process. There is a process I had to go through. Now, the impression was so strong that as much as you want to get rid of those habits that you have developed over the years, I want to get rid of those habits more than you do yourself. And at that point, I realized that even in this challenge that I was still having, even with these habits that I was still having, God was already doing His work in me. He had already started developing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me. He was teaching me how to be patient. He was teaching me already. Like, even in those weaknesses, God was already at work in my life. And I believe that in any situation that you are in, God has the ability to use that situation to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside you. The challenge is that we are not often open to God using that situation in our lives for His glory. But the moment you realize that God is in control, He can use that situation to showcase His glory, to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside every one of us. Amen? So, we just need to trust God and believe that He is in control. So, how do I develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The first thing we need to do is to abide in God. We read a verse that said that apart from me, you cannot bear any fruit. And I'm reminded of the story of Mary and Martha. These were Jesus' buddies. Jesus went over to their place, and when he got there, Martha was taken up by preparation. She was trying to get all the food ready, like trying to prepare all these things, while Mary was just seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus was saying. Martha got so frustrated that she told Jesus that Mary was not helping out. And Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen the better thing. There are very many things, but only one thing matters, and that is what Mary had chosen, to sit at His presence, to sit in His presence, to abide. And I believe that is what God expects you and me. Well, I know there are a lot of things that we have to do, but we need to prioritize. One of the things we need to do is to abide. David said this in Psalm chapter 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing that these two stories have in common is that they all hungered and thirsted after God. And I believe that is what God is calling us to. Now, we need to understand that God is calling us to a life of transformation. We need to renew our minds. One thing I did not understand when I became a Christian was that I needed to renew my mind. And as you renew your mind, as you pray, as you seek after God, God will transform you and you're going to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit from a place of rest, and it will not just be do's and don'ts. God is calling us to abide so that we can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit from a place of rest, having experienced his transformational power. Amen? The other thing we need to do is we need to examine ourselves. The Bible encourages us to examine ourselves to make sure we are still standing in the faith. Now, I know we have very busy lives. And maybe you have 2 jobs, 3 jobs, like there is a lot of stuff. You have a family. And because of our busy life, sometimes we even don't examine ourselves. At the end of the day, you're so tired that you don't want to do anything. All you want to do is to just sleep. I believe examining ourselves is an important practice that we need to do on a regular basis. You need to just sit back at the end of the day and just wonder, today I responded to that person rudely. Was that something that, you know, would have honored God? Just think about your life. And I believe as we do that, the Holy Spirit will convict us of certain things that we need to make changes on. And lastly, we need to repent. I know we are saved by grace. I understand that. But after walking at this journey of salvation, I think that because of grace, sometimes we take repentance as a light thing. I think repentance should be our lifestyle. Even if the grace of God is sufficient, let us just learn that habit of repenting of our sin regularly. As often as the Holy Spirit reminds us, let us remember that we have to repent. And it does not have to be something long. I could have insulted someone. And when I walk away, the Holy Spirit just speaks to me that, you know, that was wrong. I can just say, God, I'm sorry for having done that. That is repentance. You don't have to wait to accumulate or do something great in order for you to, something big in order for you to repent. That is what God is calling us to. As I come to an end here, I know I've been speaking a lot, and some of the things could have probably already gone off your head. I'd like to summarize my message in just a few seconds. When you walk out of this place today, I need you to remember this, that developing fruit is not an option. It's a requirement. It's a command for us believers. Secondly, as you try to develop this, as you try to walk this journey, the devil will try and tempt you in 3 areas. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So you need to be aware of his schemes. Amen? And thirdly, in order for us to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need to abide, we need to examine ourselves, and we need to repent of our sins. Amen? Yes. Let us pray. I know you could be here and maybe you have heard me talk about salvation, but you do not have a relationship with God. You could be online. I do not know. I just want to give you this opportunity to receive Jesus inside your heart, to be your Lord and Savior. So if that's you and you're out there, I just want to lead you in this prayer. And I know we have Bibles for anyone who will, you know, accept Jesus. We have Bibles for you.
at the end of the service. And I'll just encourage all of us to say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you right now to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. You could also be here and maybe you're struggling. You've heard me speak and you're still struggling with certain habits. You're struggling to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I just want to say a prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you have called each and every one of us here to bear fruit, Lord. We know we can only bear that fruit once we abide in you, because it's you, Lord, who empowers us to bear that fruit. And so I just want to pray, Lord, for everyone in this place, Lord, who could be struggling, Lord, and they're wondering how can I bear this fruit and all this, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that all of us would have a fresh encounter with you and that you'd help us to bear this fruit. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brian, while you were preaching, I got a text from Sean, one of our guitar players, and he just said, whoever this guy is that's speaking today is entirely anointed and will do incredible things for the kingdom. I agree. Amen. Come on, that was powerful. You know, what stood out to me was actually, I don't know if you caught this, but Brian said that, you know, as fruit is good for the body, so the fruit of the Spirit is good for the body of Christ. I've never thought of it that way, Brian, but I think in my own life sometimes I use the fruit of the bowl or the fruit of the Spirit like a bowl of decorations in my home. And I forget that actually fruit has a purpose. And so that was really powerful. And I want to encourage us as the body of Christ, if you consider Harvest City your home church, you know what? You're part of our body. And we need you. We need your fruit. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you're new to Harvest City Church, maybe this is your first Sunday, maybe you've been here a few Sundays. We have something really special this morning. You heard it in the announcements, but I just want to remind us, it's the meet and greet. And so if you make your way out the doors and then there's a stairway there and you're going to go up, we've got some refreshments and some food. And basically, some of our church leadership, we want to meet you. We want to get to know your name, hear some of your story and just connect. And so we invite you to do that. If this is your first Sunday or if you haven't been to a meet and greet and you're new here, we really want to meet you. Let's stand together. I'm just going to close in prayer and release you and have a great week. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of the word today. We want to be doers. And so, Lord, we want to see the fruit of repentance in our lives, whether we just received you as our Lord and Savior today or whether we've been walking with you for our whole lives. Lord, would we walk in the fruit of repentance? Would that be our habit? And Lord, would we have fruit that remains? And would we have fruit that actually nourishes the rest of the body of Christ as well as we share with one another? Go with us now, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, church. We'll see you next week.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.